We tried to talk about a few things about what's happening. And I don't feel all that inspirational toward talking about things that's happening in the sense of what is taking place concerning us or how we're involved, or in the sense that most of the time people don't understand what you're saying and they judge according to the outward appearance and whatever it is they've got that in their minds anyway. But I've been more or less wrong to talk about things a little bit, and that so many has kind of pressed on us about what has happened. And there are a few that are curious as to know what really is happening. And to say the least, as I always say, I say when it sounds like it is so tremendously much, but it is so tremendously little. Though I magnified 100,000 times, as to say something great and spectacular is taking place in the spirit world, and especially here at this moment, even in the things that have just transpired in the last few days. But then people, again, they judge after the outward appearance as to what they think and what they've got in their minds, whereas they're like little babies and they're so precious, but they're so wrong. And they're so, just like Jesus. When Jesus came, ministering some this morning and yesterday to some of the brethren, and I was trying to express to them how misunderstood he was. He was so misunderstood. Like a songwriter said one time, speaking of a Christian, misunderstood, he said. The Christian is so misunderstood, the way he put it in his songwriting. And that's true, but the Son of God was so misunderstood. And even though you study for many, many years with all diligence and scrutinize the scriptures till you are so positive that you know them and you can memorize them, and you read the same scripture over and over and over and over and over and over, and then after 20 years, you suddenly get a revelation and you think, well, my God, this just can't be. The simple little scripture, it can't be that I've misunderstood it. But you do, because it is hid. Now, if God had not hid it, you wouldn't misunderstand it. But he hid it. So this is why that you misunderstand so much. See, it isn't just that, so as well, it's a book, I reread this book, and I read a book and I understand a book, I read this book, I understand this book. No, it's not like that at all. This book, he hath hid it. And God does such a good job of hiding until they never did discover the body of Moses after that he hid it. And the only way I ever found it was one day he revealed it to me, that there he was in glory on Mount Transfiguration. And you can believe that I had a war with a great Bible scholar until that thing struck him. But God had hid it. And the Bible said he hath hid these things. He hath hid them. Though he's given you the Bible, and he's given you great Bible scholars, and he's given you seminaries, and they have seminars, and it's a constant thing of teaching and tutoring. But when they get through with all of it, hundreds and thousands of them, and many thousands and tens of thousands of things that are said, I've talked to them, many of them, and I thought, it is so hid that you never did discover it during all of your seminars. But as Jesus said, being confident, or Paul, being confident that ye are guides of the blind, you try to teach them, the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. The ditch, therefore, means as to the human realms of human logics and leaning to your own understanding and following after diplomacies and those kind of things, because that is the whorish side of life. That is the feminine side of life. And believe you me, today, the feminine side of life is in bad shape. People who don't grasp or don't understand spiritual things, we never know what we're saying. But even to the allegorics, you know, we look at the natural woman as to the allegoric side. And we know that there's certainly a deficiency in life as to the virtues of life. But we don't comprehend that that is only symbolic of the earth that has been ravished by demons, and that all flesh, as to the feminine, has all flesh has corrupted their way before God. Like the thing that we got the report on of Times Magazine, 98% was it? 98% naturally speaking, as to see the allegorics, 98% of all women from about the age of 12 to 17 has lost their virtue by the time they're 17. 98%. And it's like someone was asking this reporter that came out from 11 Alive, said, tell me, why is it that your ladies wear the long dresses? What is the purpose? And of course, she's sitting there with her dress, fairly decent, better than some of them. And I said, well, you know, real simple, we just believe in preserving virtue. I said, certainly in the age we are living in, we need to preserve it. And then, of course, just after that, I got the report of Time Magazine. So then we know that all flesh has corrupted its way before God. I think it was having a dispute as to putting a lesbian in office. And out of all the senators, maybe two senators rose up against it. And one said, you can call me a racist. You can call me whatever you want to. But said, that ain't nothing but foolishness. And he told him, said, it's just plain down uncleanness, downright uncleanness and this kind of thing. And said, I'm against it and I'll never change. I don't care what you call me. And God bless that precious man. Let's give him a hand. And they said the rest of the senators shouted him down. The rest of the senators shouted him down. He said, folks, all I'm trying to do is stand for that we were reared up in as to decency and godliness. But you know, speaking of this, it's like when the reporter again said something to us. I said, she said, well, Mr. Pike said, can you tell me what a cult is? I said, well, I'm so glad you asked. She said, I don't know what it is. I said, well, I'm so glad that you asked. I said, because a cult is anything that does not found itself upon the Word of God. And I said, and of course, when we finally got around to it, I spoke concerning the government of today, the great government as it one time was, of the United States. I said, and that's a cult at the White House. So it'd probably be coming on television that way because it was filming recording. So I know someone would say, but Brother Pike, do you really believe that? Well, it's like when Jesus said, I come in the defense of truth. Then Pilate said, well, what is truth? You come to bear witness of truth. What is truth? See, and when you say, what is an occult? Then you've got to remember that if a thing is perverted, we've got to acknowledge that if a thing is not true, if it misrepresents that which is truth, then it's an occult, because that's what it is. But anything that is truth is not occult. And the Word of God is truth. And when the great Constitution of the United States was set in force, it was set in order by great, mighty men that you can read one writings right after another, and they tell how that at all times we should be always in remembrance that the reference to the origin of our nation depends upon the rudiments of God and His Word. And today, it is a joke. They don't try to hold to the Constitution, nor do they try to base the Constitution on the Word of God. And the heritage of the early American way is lost. Whereas when this lady said something about the long dresses, I said, well, The early Americans dressed that way, which I could tell that shocked her when she stopped to think about it. I said, and then besides that, I said, the Catholics, Superior Mothers, whatever, I said, before they came to the day that we're living in now and doing the things they're doing, I said, that's the way they dressed. I shouldn't say anything else about it. So it's very obvious that to dress with the long dresses, that what you call that is good common sense. Let's give a look. Just plain good common sense. If that way is not right, as the Bible said, dress according to holiness and as the women of old, if that way isn't right, how is it that we preserve the virtues until they change their mode of dressing as to the adulterous, sinful generation? What happened to the virtues since they started dressing differently? There must be something going on. See, the Bible said dress as becometh holiness, as well as being holy in spirit, be holy in body. So we could go on and go on, and maybe we will go on commenting on some things. But again, our reference is back to the seals. I don't know how long we'll refer back to the seals. Maybe not after the night, maybe on and on for a long time, because I had wanted to get into the seals for a long time, and I wouldn't try to preach them or whatever, because again, reference back to the reporter, that was one thing she wanted to know about David Koresh and my views on it. Whereas just before we come on TV on 11 Alive Sunday night, they have about an hour on the David Koresh show, or hour of the David Koresh show. And of course, the drive from the reporter coming out of Athens, or whether it comes for the paper, whatever, is to get a story to sensation and make some money. I know, because I used to work at the newspaper. And like the sports writer that came out to cover us in Indy, he said, that's all they're after, Brother Pike. Which, of course, I knew that, having been, worked at one. But one of the things that she asked me about, she said, well, what about the seal, the fifth seal or whatever, as to Koresh opening that? And we commented on it. And she said, and what do you think about him and his operation? And we commented on it. I said, for one thing, I think that they were too aggressive, and they needed a little more patience in dealing with the situation. That's very evident, or they never would have burned those children up and some of the others. And that was out of the enthusiasm of a woman that had no business in office to begin with. Should have been home cleaning the pots and cooking them a good meal. But nevertheless, she has blood on her hands of many, many lives, and there's many people involved. And when I went to answer the woman, I thought, now there are mothers, and there are dads, there's relatives, and they're crushed. And regardless to what a child does, it's still the mother's child. And I approached it with as much integrity and understanding as I could. And I said, I think that the aggression was against the church, like a lawyer friend of mine said. And I said, I think they could have dealt with it differently. I said, to begin with, as to liberty and justice for all, according to the way of life, as to our Constitution, he has much right to do what he was doing as anybody else. I said, and he had biblical foundation as the Old Testament, which I made the statement that that's what they will find if they ever examine him, that he's based it on the Old Testament and building himself a kingdom as to a monarch, and they found out that that's the way it was. I said, but on the other hand, that was a cult. And I said, and it was a threat to democracy and to the societies of today. Well, anyway, then we got to the seal situation, where again, I'm looking in the sixth chapter here at the fifth seal. Again, we are reminded that no man in heaven nor in earth was found to open those seals. Now let's just comment just a little bit on it, because we do this to get your thoughts, in that it is a big subject. When I go to talk, like I've been talking today for about 4 or 5 hours, I usually don't take a text or go back to any certain thing, because I just talk and let the Spirit do whatever He wants to do, say whatever He wants to say, so that we can just hear what He's got to say, because we have plenty of time. But when I come here, because of the routine of churchism and the way that people are taught to come to church to worship and do their thing of 45 to 50 minutes or whatever it is that the minister's got, and then have all 40 minutes an hour of singing and enthusiasm, then I do it a little bit different. Whereas I still think we have a great detriment in the church, and that is the lack of interest in spiritual things. Though you be in the Spirit, Paul said you might live in the Spirit, but you need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And that we don't need to make provisions for the natural things of life. But to us, life consists of our human senses. It consists of our egotistic way of life as to the things that we like to do, to eat, to drink, to buy, to sell, to see, to hear, to laugh, to talk, to visit, all these kind of things. That's life to us. So what can you say? You're born into that, and that's what you are. If you do away with that, then you've done away with life. And so then when you start preaching things like we preach, then it's so foreign to the average human being. See, because Paul, they did not even understand what the man was saying. They just called him a hard head. Even to the last time that we talked about Paul to a Jew over in Israel, he said he was just stubborn and hard-headed, troublemaker. See, and a man wasn't even worthy to lick the feet of Paul. But the thing is, what Paul said was so far over their head as to their understanding that they couldn't even tell what he was saying. For the Bible said God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, made them revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn, and that this understanding is higher above your head than the heavens is the earth. So Paul was so far over their head, being Christ himself, not Paul living, having experienced so many sorrows and heartaches, beaten 5 times at the whipping post and 3 times with rods and stoned and left for dead and all these things, in prison, until it wasn't Paul living anymore, it was Christ. And God had chosen him for that purpose. So evidently the trend of religion today is to become famous, to get on TV, to be able to know how to approach the situation, and to be a scholar in the Bible with polished ethics, and to be a real orator, and let everybody know that the main drive is to get money, and that the more gimmicks that you can work to create an interest, and the more that they give, the greater that they're going to be as to your follower, and as to your admirer, and the more that you're going to lean in their direction. And so life goes on as we think of life, in our terms of life, naturally speaking. So that means that people, they're born naturally, so they live naturally, then they die naturally. They're born carnal, they live carnal, so they die carnal. And someone would say, well, what is the results or the final ultimatum of that, Brother Pike? It means that you go to hell. You're born carnal, you live carnal, you go to hell carnal. For the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It is not subjected to the things of God. You cannot be the subject of the Spirit in the carnal mind. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. And the carnal mind is enmity with God. If you be a friend of the world, then the Bible says that the world isn't going to care for you because the world loves its own. You're going to be the oddball. But if you be a friend of the world, then you are the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father isn't there. So if you are just naturally oriented as to your way of life, and you are naturally exuberant toward the things of life as to what you want to do and what you want to be, your goals, and being something in life as to a career, whatever, then that means that you belong to the world. That means that you're dead in trespasses and sin while you're living. So you have to be born again just to be able to see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, then you don't even enter into that other world, or you don't enter into that other life. You cannot join the church. You cannot just become a believer. You cannot say, hey, I'm part of this, and he said it, and I believe it. That won't do. Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you've been born one time, but now there's going to have to be a death. There's going to have to be a crucifixion. There's going to have to be a casting away. There's going to have to be a getting rid of you so that Christ might live. And when you are born again, he said, then you can see the kingdom of heaven. But if you are not born again, how can you go to that world? How can you be into that world? How did you get into this world? How could you ever come into this world unless you're born into this world? There is no way. You cannot join the church. You cannot go to seminary. You cannot school yourself in abilities and in ritualistics and practices of formalities, whether you call it as unto holiness or whether you just in general think of it as life. You can never go to heaven like that. Someone would say, well, where is heaven? That's a good thought right there. So I hope I could just talk with you like this. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Well, that's a good thought. When it was asked, what is truth? See, where is heaven? The thing is, though that be a good thought, a better thought is, what is heaven? You know, you can't tell where heaven is until you know what heaven is. If I went out looking for something, I might look everywhere and never find out where the thing was that I was looking for, though I covered every area that I could cover, because I wouldn't know what I was looking for. But if I know what I'm looking for, then there's a good possibility I can find it. And that's the way it is. What is heaven? See, first of all, if heaven is described to you, the only way that you can think of heaven is gates of pearl and streets of gold and a great, beautiful city, a polished city with transparency. You know, and to you, this is heaven. And indeed, that's right, because that is the highest means of conception that I know of as to that which is desirable. You know, because we know of pearl, and we know of gold, and we know of silver, and we know of all these things. And thus we say, and we have discovered heaven. Now that's wonderful. And I wouldn't want to take that out of your mind, nor I wouldn't want to distort that nor pervert that. That's what the Bible says. But folks, I would like for you to understand something. And that is, as Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, as to his day, said, just desire the sincere milk of the word. You'll grow. You'll grow. Just desire that. But he said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. For as Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit. He said, woman, you don't know what you're worshiping. And you can't say we worship in this mountain or that mountain as to find God. He said, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. You don't find him in the mountains. And as to Solomon, you want to build me a house. And what house can you build me? See, what house are you going to build me, Solomon? Seeing that I fill all of eternity. I'm everywhere at all times. I'm above you. I'm in you. I'm through you. In me, as Paul said, you have your beings. See, what house are you able to build me? But nevertheless, with the gold and the silver and all this that David had gathered during the time of battle, they built a house. And this house was built, and it was called the house of God. And later years, when they had the conference, and Pentecost came about, and all the people gathered together, one got a revelation, and he waxed bold and stood up in the midst of them as one of the leaders of the apostles and said, and brethren, this agrees with what the prophets have said. I will return in the last days, saith God, and build up the fallen down house of David. But did they build up the fallen down house of David? Was his words fulfilled? Yes and no. It depends on whether you can see or not see. And will that be fulfilled? It will be fulfilled as to when and where, as to the natural house, when the natural Jews accept the Messiah. As to fulfill the prophecy of Daniel, when it is said to anoint the most holy. Or that is to bring in that great temple. Them not realizing, even as Jesus said to his disciples, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his body until after his resurrection. And they did not know that God was a spirit and that God said, this is the temple. This is the body. My son in whom I am pleased to dwell. See, and so then when we think about being spiritual, then we think about heaven. Then where is the fallen down house of David? Has it been built up? Is it being built up? Well, there's a man by the name of Paul, and he made the statement. He said, I am a wise master builder. He was building something. He came for some purpose. What purpose did he come for? And what kind of building was he talking about building? And where is this building put together? He said, Jesus Christ hath laid the foundations for this building. And said, other foundations can no man lay. And evidently the foundations that Jesus picked was the 12 apostolic leaders and converted them from natural Jews into spiritual Jews. Because when the city is found, it hath 12 foundations. And in the foundations, it is denoted there as to the teachings of the Bible that in these foundations, the names of the apostles were found. And then another thing is the Bible said Abraham of old is to whom the promise was made. He confessed that I am a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. So then evidently we miss something. We don't understand something with all of the many years of the church age teachings. Where are they teaching about this city? And what are they teaching about this city? And why is it that we don't know about this city and the great builder of the city? And why haven't we discovered this city? Or what is this all about? Or are we even planning to go to that city? New Jerusalem, coming down from God, coming down from heaven. See, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Where is this city? Why don't we talk about this city? How can we get to this city? I say again, you can't get into this world unless you're born into this world. And folks, let me tell you something. Unless you are born into that world, you'll never get into it. Unless you are born again, that is born of the Spirit. You might have been born of the flesh, but you got to be born again and you got to be born of the Spirit. And if you're not born of the Spirit, you're never going to see that world. You're never going to see that world. I've heard people say, when I see that beautiful city, how bad it will be, Brother Pike, they said, to stand and see the beautiful city of God and see God and see his greatness and then hear him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Will he say that? He will. Will they see God and the great city? Oh, no. Oh, no. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. There's no way that they could ever see that. Paul, with all of his mastery of learning, all of his diplomacies of life, having given his life even to a religious institution of life. Yet, Paul, when the great light came, he went blind. He didn't see anything. So, it's evident then that something, again, as I say, is misunderstood. When I talk to you tonight, exhorting you the more as we see the day approaching. I talk to you on these bases. You know, what is heaven? Where is heaven? See, how is it in 2,000 years of study and research that we as a people have missed it and still not found it? How in the world are we ever going to discover it, or how are we ever going to find heaven? How are we ever going to get there if we don't do better than we're doing right now? 2,000 years and the people are farther away from God than ever before. Well, anyway, if I say to you something is to the tutoring, where Paul said, being a teacher and a preacher, and the Bible said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. See, and they shall all be taught of God. See, and we say, what about these seals? What are these seals? See, the first thing is, what are these seals? Now, the other night I elaborated just a little bit. I couldn't say much the last night I was up here because 11 Alive was here. And pardon me, I had to kind of condense what I said. And really and truly talking to you, I still have to condense it. Because when I come here to talk to you, as a rule, you're not spiritual. You're not hungered and you're not thirsty. There's nothing in there that drives you. You know, it's like a drunkard. You got to find somebody that loves that bottle. He loves that drink. He loves that whiskey. He loves that frolic. He loves the blending with the crowd. You got to find a ball player. If you're going to have a good time with baseball, somebody that just lives ball and sleeps ball, and that's their whole dream. Same way with hunting, and the same way with fishing, and same way with men that like to make money, and people that like prestige, or movie stars, or glamour, whatever it might be. You know, and the same way with God. You've got to find somebody that's spiritual, somebody that's made for that other world, somebody that's born again, somebody that belongs to that, that their hunger, the hunger of their heart, they hunger and thirst after the things of God. And the Bible says they'll be filled. Somebody that just loves to talk about God. It's just something on the inside of them that bubbles like a fountain. See, and you don't hardly find that, because few there is. Be that find this, very few that will ever find this. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few shall enter into this place. And as Nicodemus, Nicodemus, art thou a leader of the Jews, and you don't know these kind of things? If I told you of earthly things and you've not understood these, how would you ever understand? He said, if I told you of heavenly things, I always say spiritual things. So then, going on with our little thought here as to allegorically express ourselves to you, I hope you can just listen to me for a few minutes and let me just take my time and express a few things that we really need to be oriented in. It's like I was telling David Paul. I said, David Paul, there is no way that people of this world with their diplomacies will ever understand God and heavenly things. The Bible said these things are foolishness to the natural man. He cannot see these things. And this great, wonderful light that shines in the midst of the darkness of your intellectual ego of life. See, it says you don't have any eyes to see. You are blinded on the inside by the ignorance that is within you. And I would not have you ignorant, but said this light shines right in the midst of the darkness. For the Bible said at the evening time it shall come to pass that there shall be light, but this great light that is sprang up to them that said in the regions of the shadow of death, though it sprang up, it said, and they never did comprehend it. For having eyes they see not, and having ears they hear not, and God himself standing in their midst, they did not recognize that God was there, no more than they do today. And so then, in this, the great light shined, but they could not comprehend it. But ye that are children of light, you're not children of intellectual darkness. You're not creatures of the night. You're children of the light. You're not drunken, for they to be drunken, be drunken in the night. That's drunken off the cares of life. See, but you're not so as to be drunken. You're not in the night. You're children of the light. You comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this great, mighty thing that was given to you in Christ before the world ever was as a finished work, as to the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, when your names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, even as Paul said, salute my women workers, whose names are at that present moment. They are, as he said, in the Lamb's Book of Life. The children not yet having been born, done no good or evil, that it might stand according to God and election, according to calling, and not of him that worketh. I say that Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. So then, these things having been given us in Christ, as to the Lamb, by the foreknowledge of God, see in that all of God's works are known unto him from the beginning, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at Calvary to the rent veil when the book was open and the books were open, and then preached to us down through the church ages as through the tutoring of those seven great mighty leaders of the church ages, that we might through that period of time from generation to generation, as putting it all together, comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, the length, and the greatness of this that God himself hath wrought for his children and his people.
having hid it from the eyes of the world and the wise and the prudent, but having wrought this for himself in Christ, even as Paul said, this we have purposed within his own self, that it should be so, and then bringing it to us to reveal to us this thing wherein in Christ Jesus he hath given us all things that pertain unto life, saying, I am the Prince of life. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly or filled up and overflowing. Satan is a thief and a robber. He comes but to steal and to kill and to take away that I have given you. So as I said, as to the reporter, I said, I am not against that which is good. She quizzed me as to what I stood for. I said, I am for all things that are good for the people. I said, everything that is good, everything that makes for life. I said, I'm for all of this because God has freely given that to us through the grace of his Son without respect to person, even the rain on the just and the unjust. And that's why the world thrives and continues today. I said, but I am against corruption and the infiltration and many things that we term as to human terminology of being good is evil and wretched and corrupt. And they're partial. And when I talked to the physicians and the nurses, I said, your defense is toward life. I said, and when you do what you're oriented in as to your way of life and your level of life, I said, and you take a human body as to human chemistry or the human anatomy, I said, and you work with it. I said, your interest is to try to prevent death and to preserve life. And I said, and your drive and motivation is toward the eradication of corruption because you understand the loss that is involved should corruption set in or deterioration set in. I said, that's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. All those things are allegoric, as I would say to you, brethren, sisters that understand spiritual things. That's all I'm doing. The dispute is over the body. I'm against the corruption. I'm here to preserve life. Abundance of life that you might have, all things that pertain unto life. But all that glitters is not gold, as someone has said. Well, anyway, to get on with a little thought here. So then we know that in expressing ourselves, allegorically speaking, that somebody's got the cart ahead of the horse. I have no means of expression except human terminology. And as the measurements of heaven, so is that of man, as to the angels. And that is to say, whatever my means and measures of expression might be, to convey a thing to you through a surveillance of your understanding to comprehend. See, I use the same approach as the angels would, because we're dealing with a spiritual being on the inside. And the Bible said in heaven, ye are angels. That is to say, is there any life in the body without the spirit? Is the body dead without the spirit? Is the life then in the body or in the spirit? Yet the dispute is over the body, which would take many, many days, much teaching to differentiate and to explain. But we've given our time to the world. We haven't had time to give ourselves to Christ. Though he be in our midst, though he desired to give us eternal life, having gained the whole world and lose your soul, what have you profited? So I said to David Paul, as to getting on with our thought, I said, David Paul, it's not possible for scientists, as falsely so called, the word meaning knowledge, to ever understand nor find these things that we're talking about, and even the things that has been discovered down through the years. No matter how we look at it, their research, God only honored them to the extent to seek that you might find. Really, they didn't search out nothing. He just revealed it to them as they accidentally run across it. In most cases, when you search it out in history, and it's a little electric light with some foolish little thing like flying a kite. See, because it was the new world, it was the new time, it was the new, well, it had to do with a lot of things allegorically. Like Jesus spoke to them in parables, and the apostles said, and why do you speak to these people in this manner, as to parables, seeing that they don't understand what you're talking about? He said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you is given. And Paul said, the mystery was made known to me. I'm the Gentile overseer. I'm here to bring you to Christ. And I'm here to reveal the mystery. Even a mystery we shall not sleep. And I'm here to reveal the mystery, the sounding of the last trump, the finishing of the mysteries. See, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So the mystery, there is a mystery involved. And I'm here, it's hid from the world. See, and I'm here to bring you this mystery, because this is what the bride of Christ is all about, is coming into the mystery. It's given to them. So when we think about these things, again I say, as I told David Paul, I said, like David, it cannot be seen. You cannot see it. You cannot find light. Where will you find light? How can you search out light? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, look here in the sanctuary. Look in the temple here, the natural temple. Well, I can see light everywhere. Do you really see light anywhere? Oh, no. No, you cannot see light. There's no way you can see light. But what you see is darkness, and you see shadows, and you see that which is revealing light. So then, that which you see is that which you are of. See, if I scientifically search, if I look, if I'm naturally born into this world as everyone is, and I'm born of Adam, and it is as to a derivative of the tree of knowledge as to the fall, as to an intellectual ego of life, then can I become an Einstein and search out these things and say, look, we're going to define this as to times and seasons, and we're going to bring a definition as to the world of atomic powers, and we're going to break it down to the minute, as you and I know, down to the masses and the forms and the image and to the molecules and to the atoms and to the electrons and the protons and the neutrons, down to the beaters, down to the sparks and coming up. Finally, we don't have anywhere else to go. See, and we're going to search it all out, and we're going to define this like a little baby playing with his blocks. See, and when we get through as to the study of the spheres, all of the things is to our geological approach, and we go down into the heart of the earth, and we search out the ocean, we search out the earth, and we excel into what they refer to as the celestial, which is only symbolic, and we study the stars, and when we get through with all of it, we're nothing. Neither have we proven anything, and God has led us like little children to search it out so that we might have a formulated understanding that God, through means of that, as the tutor, might express himself as being the invisible, the unknown, the incomprehensible, and light might at last have a means of expression. And we say, well, glory to God, I just saw something. How? With eyes of understanding. But why didn't we see it before? Because there was no shadows, there was no formula, there was nothing to express it, even as 2 and 2 makes 4. Seeing thus comes the invisible as to a formula, whether it be working with equations, is working with the things of the world. Whatever we're working with, there's something that's hidden. And we're after that hidden as to, naturally speaking, a potential that we can't see. See, nor can we comprehend it in our natural mind. We've got to have some means of approach. All things being allegoric, nothing without significance. So then when we say science, a great mighty science or scientists of the world, will they search it out? What are they doing? What's the matter with them? It is Satan. It is Satan who is cut off from the world of light. And because he is searching for the world of light. And he's looking for the world of light. And he cannot find the world of light. With all of his studies, with all of his ability, with all of his eagerness, he'll never discover light. How can he discover light? If he discovered light, the very fact that he would approach light would mean the eradication of him. Because he is born of the shadows. He is of the shadows. He is the instigator of night. He is the ruler of the darkness. See, he could never do that. What is he trying to do? He's trying to work through you and through me as to the dispute over this body, to get into this body that he might, through means of the mercy of the blood on the seat of atonement because of human fall, unto God can restore, separate, segregate as the righteous from the unrighteous. See, he wants to hide that body because through the means of that, he can reflect that light which is life and understanding and have the exuberance of all of the thrills of the flesh as to the human being or the 5 senses of the human beings, and he can just eat you like eating a worm would eat up a human body. And God can't do anything about it because the blood's on the seat of atonement. And he keeps crying to the minister, and through the minister, come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you, saith the Lord. I'm life. I am life in the abundance. Get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I can't do anything till you get out of your lot, the angel said. See, come out from among them. All that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and the world and the lust thereof. All of that will pass away. But we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein there is righteousness. Oh, how we would like to enlarge upon those things. But see, just for the few principles or basics as to what we're seeing, see, can science, falsely so-called, can they ever search this thing out? And through their PhDs and their LLDs and whatever they come up with, can they ever find their way? Can they ever get out of the darkness? Can they ever come to what they're looking for, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth? Because Satan is after that. He's trying to get to that light, and he doesn't know how to get control of that light and make use of it without it destroying him. Because he cannot see light. You can't see light. He can't find light. He searches for light in his foolishness, in his condition of ignorance. See, so how can scientists ever find the answer? How can your mighty, so-called mighty men of today ever find anything? They're like children stumbling around in the dark. They don't even know how to tie their shoes, spiritually speaking. How in the world are you going to ever find an answer? That's why you've got the sodomy that you've got in the White House. Because of foolishness, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind that they might believe a lie and be damned. And see, God allowed America as a new world to bring forth the church ages. As to this new world to preserve virtue and godliness and pureness and righteousness, exalt the nation, sin being a reproach to many people. But now that the church ages is over, coming to an end, the church is being sealed in. Even as this little episode that we went through with, if we had time to go through it, to them that would understand, it would be so thrilling a step by step as to what happened to us and why it happened to us, why it was supposed to happen to us, what must come about at this time. So beautiful it is. But anyway, going on with our thoughts, just to lead up to where the seals get started is as far as we'll go. See, so we know then that there is no such thing as mighty men and great men of the world. There is no such thing. All of them are ignorant. All flesh is corrupted its way before God. There's no such thing as holy men and godly women in the world. As to ritualistics from the aspect of life, religiously speaking, whether it be Catholicism, whether it be as to Pentecostalism, or whether it be whatever level up or down. There is no such thing. Righteousness is of God. Though there be holy people, though there be holy men, though there be godly people, these things are not at all as pertaining to the natural state of life. This is something that is given of God, even the callings of God, which are without repentance. You can't even get into the ministry by your desires, going to seminary and decide you want to be a preacher. That's foolishness. That's childish. No such thing. Never has been. Never has been a prophet like that. Never has been a minister like that. Never will be. See, it's a calling. It's something in God. But anyway, I said that again to say this. Is there any such thing as a great man or scientist going to search out the matter? He cannot. Because as I said, in all of his ego and endeavors, all he's doing is destroying himself. And he never, even scientists, as to their very peak of perfection, which was Einstein, he never did even get into infinity. He defined and stayed into the rims of defining. But as to the infinity, he never did get there. And though he said, I go and I'll contact you from that world, he never did. They haven't heard a word from him. So this is what I'm saying, folks. It's a foolishness to think that something that is born of a shadow is going to search out light, or it's going to define light, or it's going to lead you to light. Doesn't matter how religious the world is, that which is of the shadows is the creature being made subject to vanity through that of the human senses by reason of God, that the formulated things of a mold might come forth as to all these images that emanated from God through his desires to natures, as to a conformity. All these things as a mold to bring about an invisible world and to reveal an invisible world. It's very evident that as the approaching of the light, when the Bible speaks of the great light coming, that all of these natural things will fade away. Even the mountains won't be seen. Even the heavens won't be seen. Even the earth won't be seen. Even the graves will not be able to cover up the dead anymore. And every living human being is not born of the body of light will be eradicated at the approach of his coming. And everything will turn into a lake of fire. And only he that dwells in that light, he alone, dwelling within the bosom of the Father to the light, he is the expression of God, for he has expressed God. And so he hath declared God. And if you're not of that bodily membership, if you are not of his bone and flesh, you don't dwell in that light. That understanding, it is the destruction of all status and the eradication of all impurities and corruption and night. So we can see who we are, where we are, where we're coming from, where we are, and where we're going. By this one thing, and that is, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together. These few little things we've said tonight to point out to you that there is another place, there is another world, there is another thing. There are people that are born of this world, and so their enthusiasm and ego is for this world. There are those that are born for that world, and they hunger and they thirst as to be eternal gods with eternal riches. And this that we esteem to be something is really nothing. And that the world esteems to be nothing is the only thing that is something. And that means that you that belong to the natural end of the world, then you perish with the world. But ye that belong to God, that are born again into that world, there's great, wonderful revenue of thought and revenue of things that'll come to you that are eternal, that are given to you in the Spirit that shall never perish. Riches and splendor, that of magnificence, all things as pertaining unto life are freely given to you in Christ Jesus. Let the whole world rejoice, for Christ reigneth. He has proven to be the great King through all triumph and victory as to the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. Over my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. We'll sing it with me now. For I've anchored my in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Oh, the tempest that may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am sing. Evermore, now I might be a little hoarse, but you can sing. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. And I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So
turn him away. For he has come back to your life once again. Just let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and oh, turn him away. Would you like to be part of that great thing that we're talking about?
Just having said a few little things to you to let you know there is a world so great and so mighty and so wonderful. And though much study causes weariness of the flesh as to the prolonged things of life and the diplomacies of life, yet people give themselves to it. How much more should we give ourselves to Christ and to this great, wonderful mind of eternal bliss and glory, whereas Christ within us is appearing in a blaze of glory to change us into the most beautiful, the most spectacular, the most wonderful, the most illuminated thing that's ever come to be seen. Wouldn't you like to be a God? Wouldn't you like to be the body of the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't you like to dwell in that wonderful light and understanding? Oh, how beautiful it is to live every day in that wonderful, wonderful way of life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Whatever you do, don't miss it. Especially for the world. Don't miss it. The world is nothing. Let's sing this little chorus. And I want to praise him. I noticed that 11 Alive was out again today, and they were interviewing some of our people. So you'll be seeing some of them on TV. And I understand that they gave a real wonderful testimony today, as those that were interviewed. They testified in a profound way that will shake the minds of the people out there as to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to strengthen his kingdom and to bring about his wonderful glory of justice and liberty for all. Again now. So I will praise my Lord. The Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give. I'm going to ask little Bill to come up and dismiss us, if he will. And while little Bill is coming, if little his blood has washed away. Once again, let's sing it together. So I... Now, David Paul didn't come up tonight. I got you late. But he's been with Brother Pasden today. And he was also with the reporter that came out here. They got pretty close together with the reporters that came before and the one that came today. And the one today was so fascinated with what you're doing. And he said he'd always thought this was some kind of park or something out here. He never knew this. And he was so thrilled, even as I saw him in the vision. But David Paul and Brother Plaza and some of the others, Chuck, they've got together to reprogram and to revitalize, to categorize everything to where that they can make it more of an efficiency to the winning of souls.
and to send his wonderful gospel around the world. And David is, he's fully swallowed up in it. His heart is open. His time is here. And the greatness of God is to him doing a work for the Lord. And that has great spiritual significance as to the people that are here. I say again, don't miss it. Get into it with all of your heart, because the world is going to see it now. The babe has been born. And the world is going to see it, and they're going to run hard after it. And they're going to come, and you'll lose your place. But you need to hold on with all of your heart. You need to hold on. Someone would say, well, I don't think it'll be like that. Well, there's one thing about it. It's like the prophet said, there'll be a revival. And the skeptic said, well, I don't believe it'll be like that. Said, if God should open the windows of heaven, then it should be. And the prophet said, it will be, but you won't get to see it or be partakers of it. And the king appointed him at the door. And when the great revival came, the people were so carried away till they trampled him under their feet. And he died and was not partakers of it. So it will come. It will come. It shall not fail. Someone would say, but so exaggerated it would be as to what you said. So underspoken. It will be so many 10 millions times 10 million than what I'm saying, that you could never comprehend that. You could never accept my words. You would say, for sure, oh God, for sure. To say 10 millions times 10 million, he's got to be eccentric. He's out of his mind. It could never be like that. Folks, 10 million times 10 million, and pardon my expression, if it seems as an expression of ignorance, that won't even scratch the surface as to what it'll be. You just hold on, because it's coming, and it's going to be there. As we sing this again, and I say again, don't think I'm exaggerating. Somebody says, well, I know Brother Pike is exaggerating, saying great things for God. God doesn't need anybody to lie for him. My hand be raised to God. I say so, help me God. It's 10 million times 10 million as it barely scratches the surface. That's how great it'll be. So you need to hold on, because it's coming. Be a part of it and don't miss it. As I said, David, Paul, and some of the others is beginning to do their part now. And our family coming in, the thing that happened to me, as I told the people in the past, my children, my little family, has to do with a nation born in one day. I said, and it'll come to pass. And sure enough, when they thought something that had happened to Dad, every one of them in just a moment's time made a rededication and said, oh my God, I'll serve you and I'll do something for you. Lord, just give us another chance. And in one day, as they all came in, and I told you, I said, when this happens, it's going to have great, mighty significance, and it will happen because the time is drawing near. And sure enough, it's happened. So whatever you do, think it all over. As we sing together, lift your hands and close your eyes. Examine yourself. See if you're hungering and thirsting after the Word, and see if you're in the faith.